on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to another episode of InvestTalk. I'm your host, Luke Guerrero, and today is Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We're halfway through the day, or rather halfway through the week, that is, and quickly approaching the end of this year. And as we approach a new year, one of the things we start to think about is, what are our New Year's resolutions? Hopefully for some of you, for all of us, our resolution includes taking stock of our financial lives. But if it's a good idea to start in January of the year, it's a good idea to start today. And so we here at InvestTalk see us as one small part of that goal of taking stock of your financial life. And so we meet here each and every day to help make you a better and more informed investor. Now, in order to do that, we bring a mixture of educational focus points, talking points. We talk about what happens in the market, but most importantly, we answer your finance and investment questions. Without you contributing to this show, InvestTalk does not exist. And so with that being said, before we talk about today's market performance, let's tackle our first caller question. And that caller question is going to be from Sid from North Carolina, who is calling in early. I love it, Sid. You got a question about Disney. Do you own it? Are you looking to buy it?
Thanks for taking my call. I do have a small position. It's been taken sometimes in the middle of COVID. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit downstream, and then now past couple of quarters, it is more or less sideways, still playing between 110 and 20. Do you think this is a long-term good strategy, or if yes, should I add more, or should I take whatever the profit I have and call it a day? Thank you for your guidance.
Of course. Well, Disney, the Walt Disney Company, one of the most well-known brands on planet Earth. It is a leading global entertainment mega conglomerate. They own theme parks. They have streaming. They have movies that they release to sell more of their theme parks and more of their streaming. And so, you know, one of the benefits that Disney has had in the past year or so, is they started turning a profit within their streaming service. If you recall, there was a big rush to move to streaming. You had Disney Plus becoming big. Now you have these joint ventures within the sports world. But it all costs a lot of money buying up IP to be stocked as viewable content on their streaming service costs money. And a couple quarters ago, they just started to turn a little bit of a profit. Now, recently, in the past 3 months, Q3 earnings per share did beat slightly. Again, we talk about that streaming profitability turnaround, and ESPN bought the WWE rights, and so, which is a big moneymaker and something that they hope to be a growth vector moving forward within their sports realm. And then along with that, right, they had streaming operating income increasing. They had Hulu's integration plan. They had a potential joint venture in sports. There are a lot of good things on the horizon for Disney. They had a rough couple years. They underperformed their industry by 62% in 2021. But 2024 was solid. 23.3% return on that year, of about 4% this year, underperforming by 3.8% their industry over the past 52 weeks, up 30.98%. I think that one of the issues here is that Disney's main source of revenue is selling that IP to you. And people tend to cut back on experiences, which makes up 37% of their revenue, in times of economic stress. We're seeing a resilient consumer, but we're also seeing a deteriorating jobs market and potential inflationary pressures. We didn't necessarily see that within PPI today, but there is a potential cost increase on the horizon. And so you can expect that with that, With the deteriorating economy, Disney doesn't do as well in that type of scenario. Over the short term, I would be really interested to see what the outcome is of that joint sports venture. Over the medium term, you really have to see what the theme park and cruise growth looks like. It has been moving sideways for 3-4 months now, right? We did have a big dip in April. The whole market dipped right there. This dipped even more. And then it's kind of clawed its way backwards, moving sideways. I think that it's still trading at a pretty reasonable valuation, 18 times forward-looking earnings, price to book value 1.9 times, price to cash flow 11 times. And growth is starting to pick up a little bit in some segments that have been losing the money. So I don't think that Disney is necessarily a sell right now, but I think you got to see some sort of directional movement before you want to put more into it. That is Disney Corporation, the Walt Disney Company, ticker DIS. Got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, so here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this question. The 2026 Social Security COLA, will a 2.7% increase be enough to outrun inflation? In this segment, we'll break down the estimated 2.7% cost of living adjustment for 2026 and explore why experts are concerned this moderate boost may not be enough to cover rising expenses for retirees. Also, we'll touch on a recent mining deal showing why even though copper prices have been struggling a little bit over the past year or so, the world is still has an insatiable desire for that industrial metal. Also, the primary driver of market returns undeniably over the past 2 years has been the AI secular growth theme. What happens if it blows up? And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on how shares in Bitcoin treasury companies not doing too well right now, some of them trading underneath the value of the assets that they own. We also have some voicemail questions ready to play, including one on Toast Inc., ticker TOST, and Quanex Building Products Corporation, ticker NX, as well as some questions that came in from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel, and hopefully more live calls like Sid anytime throughout the show. Going into a quick break, please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk Voice Bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, a little comment on today's market activity.
Get ready for an all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, Beyond the Mag 7, how to identify AI opportunities across sectors. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are going to help you move past the familiar names to identify the key opportunities for investment in the real AI revolution. They'll be talking about the energy grid, data center infrastructure, and how AI is boosting profits in a wide range of industries. The all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, happening online September 30th from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Seats are limited, so register now at investtalk.com. There's value in every InvestTalk podcast, so call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
We all know that working in a small business means that you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in the way they staff key projects and initiatives. By accessing a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, AI, design, admin support, marketing, and more. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. And posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable with industry low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk a little bit about the market today on this Wednesday. U.S. stocks mixed overall. The Dow was down 48 basis points. S&P 500 up 30. NASDAQ up 3. Russell 2000 down 16. In spite of that mixed movement, the S&P and NASDAQ still closed at fresh record highs. Some of the best performers on the day included energy names, semis, machinery, ag chemicals, airlines, and investment banks. Big tech overall mixed, NVIDIA stronger, but Apple, Amazon, some of the notable decliners overall. Big move on the day in Oracle, though, the software space generally weaker besides them. Other underperformers included hospitals, managed care, medtech, biotech, and semicaps. Treasury's a bit firmer. You did see some curve flattening. Yet again, yields down 1 to 4 basis points across the curve. Dollar index up 10 basis points. Gold finished little change on the day. Crude oil settled up 1.7%. Not a lot in terms of moving pieces. We did get the high-profile tailwind from the monster 359% year-over-year surge in Oracle's RPO. Other bullish pieces included, again, some more consumer resilience out of the conference updates. More easing expectations from the Fed. He did a ramp after the cooler August PPI print, as well as a pretty strong Treasury auction, taking a bit of pressure off of Treasury supply fears. Some of the bullish pieces, though, some hawkish trade deadline threats that have 100% tariff on China and India for buying Russian oil. Some calls that odds of the Supreme Court supporting for Trump's tariffs also underpriced, as well as a ramp up in Mideast tensions and just seasonal technical issues. On the macro front, headline August PPI dropped 10 basis points month over month versus the street expectation for a 30 basis point rise. Core PPI also down 10 basis points against a 30 basis point consensus. July's core reading also revised down as well. Looking ahead, August CPI and initial claims will be out on Thursday, and rounding out the week on Friday will be the preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations for September. All right. We got another live call. I love it. Two live calls early in the show. This one from Santa Cruz, our friend Thomas, who has a question about eBay.
Yeah, so I called in a while ago. I was a holder of eBay, and I know that it has gone up, and I did regrettably sell it. You guys ended up playing my call-in question. I left a voicemail asking about it. And basically, I'm looking to get back in. I know that you guys, being that you played it, you're obviously interested in it. I know that you guys talked, you're going to have your AI webinar coming up, but I was just wondering if you could give us a tidbit early, if this is kind of a company. I know that Justin mentioned that companies are going to be able to, with AI softwares, get better prices. And I was just wondering if your thought process would be, maybe this would be a company that would benefit from those online programs that can find the best prices. And I was just wondering if that was part of your thought process, but mainly I'm asking for a price point to try to get back in.
Yeah, of course. So eBay is one of the original, I would say, online commerce companies. They have a platform where you can auction things, you can buy things. They operate really internationally. Interestingly enough, 16% of the revenue comes from just advertising. So a little bit of a diversified stream there. About 51% from the United States, 15% from the UK, 11% from China. Now, year to date, it's up 47.36%, up 51% over the past 52 weeks. Pretty impressive numbers there. They did have a Q2 beat on revenue and earnings per share. Big, strong growth within that ad revenue. And also some launching of their AI tools, which have helped with their fashion positioning, and maybe some recent news about an integration within Facebook Marketplace. Obviously, Meta, a big spender on AI recently as well. Now, that's something that's happened over the past 6 months, right? Over the next couple months, their big focus is, like you mentioned, that AI adoption. Within the wealth webinar, we're going to really focus on a couple categories. On the infrastructure, industrial infrastructure required for artificial intelligence to be successful. On the picks and shovel businesses as well, right? Energy, industrials. And then also on the beneficiaries that you may not be thinking about. Now, this is definitely one of them. Using those AI tools for targeted ads, taking in user data, learning about users, improving the efficiency of your ads, fantastic. They have AI-powered seller tools that they are trying to implement fully as well. And so they certainly are one of those companies that does stand to benefit from what we have been talking about. The revenue growth, although flat over the past 5 years, started to pick up again the past 3 years, up from $10 billion to about $11 billion as their margins are expanding as well. And so this positive performance has put them in a position where they're trading about 15.9 times forward-looking earnings, a bit above their average, price to book at about 9 times, price to cash flow about 20 times. You know, eBay is one of those names that we have been looking at internally because we like this name. We think that it is a leader in its space. We like the amount that it has been spending on refining its stream of ad revenue. And we think that over the long term, it really stands to benefit from that. Even with this run-up, though, it seems still to be at a pretty reasonable valuation. If you wanted to get into it, I think this is a pretty solid level right here, though. I would certainly start to DCA in here, given the volatility surrounding its business. If you think about ad revenue and marketplace revenue, both of those kind of affected by the consumer's ability to spend. Because of that, I think entering slowly around these levels is probably a good call. That is eBay, ticker E-B-A-Y. Going to a new break. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. Or if you're listening via our live stream, call now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Now, my main focus point today concerns an important question that affects a lot of retirees, and that is if the 2026 Social Security cost of living adjustment, which is expected to be around 2.7%, will be enough to outrun inflation. That 2026 COLA, as it's called, is projected to be about 2.7%, slightly above the 2.5% increase retirees received in the year 2025. Now, that estimate comes from the Senior Citizens League following July inflation data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, they're not the only ones that are estimating this. The AARP is also expecting a similar increase, citing stable inflation trends for most of 2025. But the official number will be announced later this year, right? These are just estimates. The official number is always released by the Social Security Administration around October, in this case, October 2025. And that's because it's based on inflation data from July of 2024 through September 2025. I'm sorry, September to September. My brain is going around places. July's CPI showed 2.7% annual inflation, which is unchanged from the month of June, which means that inflation is below the 3% that we saw in early 2025. Now, this is the problem here with this cost of living adjustment. The COLA is based upon backward-looking data. It's based upon how inflation actually affected the general price level historically. But it is trying to solve a problem that is contending with what the cost might be for consumers on a forward-looking basis. And so while some believe that 2.7% is what the number is going to be, many agree that that may just fall short, especially if inflation accelerates into the end of the year or even in early 2026. The other problem with this is, as we know, we hear this all the time. People call in, they say, Luke, Justin, those inflation numbers, they're not real. I pay so much more than what those inflation numbers say. Is that CPI, PPI, all these numbers don't accurately reflect our experiences, right? There's so many things that go into them. Not all of us are buying a used car every year. Used car sales, used car prices affect inflation. Rents affect inflation. Not all of us are trying to buy new homes. That's not an expense we all face. Energy, all these things. And so having to use that to try and describe an adjustment for a group of people is kind of where the difficulty lies here. It doesn't accurately reflect the real expenses, especially for housing and healthcare and food, that senior citizens face. In 2025, the average retiree saw a $49 month benefit boost, bringing average checks to $2,005 for retired workers. And herein lies the issue for people who are far away from retirement. It is difficult to pay for your ongoing expenses with the benefits that you get from Social Security alone. And so, if you are far enough away such that you can utilize the time to save outside of this Social Security benefit, it is certainly in the best interest for your financial future. Alrighty, let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for this question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I am calling about Beta Bionics, ticker BBNX. I currently hold a small portion of this in my portfolio, but I am up 76% and would like to add more. Just looking to see if you can give some insight on this company. Thank you.
The ticker is BBNX and the company is Beta Bionics, Inc. Beta Bionics is a commercial stage medical devices company. They primarily focus on insulin delivery. Their flagship product is called the iLet Bionic Pancreas, and it's an automated FDA-cleared insulin delivery system. 100% of the revenue comes from the United States of America. It's a $1.2 billion market cap company. And it has about $5 billion in debt over the past 3 years since it started trading. It has not been paying down its debt. It has, in fact, been growing its debt levels. Revenue, obviously growing at a massive clip, something you see typically with these early stage biomedical companies, be they devices or engineering companies. And, as I expected to see, not making any money at all whatsoever. Negative 367%. Was the net margin in 2023, 84% in the red last year, projected to be 89% in the red this year. Over the past 3 months, we did see a bit of an IPO surge. You did see raised guidance. They're having a bit of integration with one of the larger players in the space, Abbott. And revenue growth, though, has really not outpaced some of those high losses. It IPO'd, what is this IPO here? 30th of January, 2025. And so it falls into the category of two reasons why I wouldn't buy it. One, because historically speaking, and there's a little bit of bias here because you only remember the big IPOs that did well. Historically speaking, most IPOs underperform in their first year of trading. Why? Well, there's a little bit of price discovery also. After a certain point, insiders can sell their shares. That's number reason number one, I wouldn't buy it. Don't buy IPOs within a year. General rule. Number two, it's not making any money. This company is not making money. Its revenues are growing, but it has not really kept up pace with all the money it's thrown out there. That's why it's taking on a lot of debt. So for now, let's stay away from BBNX. That is Beta Bionics. Moving into our next break, our InvestTalk phone lines never close. 888-99-CHART is the number. Coming up soon, I will answer a new YouTube comments section question.
Have you ever had a breakthrough moment working on something that wouldn't let you stop thinking until you got to the bottom of it? I bet you've experienced that situation more than once. Let me tell you how we use Claude. We use Claude to build widgets on our website and to build a data dashboard using data from various information sources. Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow and thinks with you, not for you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to tackle the problems that matter. Claude doesn't just give us answers. It helps us think through the problem. Claude's internal and external research capabilities go way deeper than basic web search. Think. Comprehensive, reliable analysis with proper citations for clients, turning hours of research into minutes. For example, Claude found connections across 50 plus sources that we never would have spotted ourselves. With Claude AI, you can connect to your work tools and data, create custom workflows, and benefit from extended thinking mode that maintains context and understanding throughout extensive conversations. Claude is for everyone: financial services, education, AI agents, and coders. Ready to tackle bigger problems? Sign up for Claude today and get 50% off Claude Pro when you use my link, claude.ai/invest. That's claude.ai/invest right now for 50% off your first 3 months of Claude Pro. That includes access to all the features mentioned in today's episode. claude.ai/invest.
Get ready for an all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, Beyond the Mag 7, How to Identify AI Opportunities Across Sectors. Happening online September 30th from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Seats are limited, so register now at investtalk.com.
Hi there, Justin and Luke. This is Matt from Minneapolis, longtime listener to your show. Love everything you guys do. Thank you very much. I have a question on a stock that I've owned for quite a while here. Ticker symbol is TOST, Toast. You know, electronic company, I believe. It's been doing a lot with restaurants and stuff with digital ordering and stuff like that. Had it for over a year. Made some real good money in it. I've become bored with it because it hasn't done much at all in last 3-4 months or so. It's been in the 40s. Do you guys see a future in this? I'm wondering if it'd be a good time to dump it and put the money into like GLD for gold, or maybe into a REIT or something like that to get some growth out of the money. I'm afraid though to sell. The reason is because I've sold a lot of stuff too soon and lost myself a lot of gains that I would have had otherwise. Thank you. I'll be looking for your feedback on the show. Have a good day.
Ticker TOST, Toast Inc. I know Justin likes this name very much. It is a cloud-based restaurant management point of sale system. So the goal here is you can reduce costs of restaurants by having people ordering things on their phone via the app, or have QR codes that bring up a menu, you order that way. Essentially, you're lowering overhead, and this is filling the gap in a way. Revenue growth here has been pretty solid. I've seen this company operating all over the place. Their software up from $665 million in 2019 to $4.96 billion in 2024. But growth has slowed a little bit, and margins haven't really expanded as well as a lot of people hoped. They first made money in 2024, net margin 0.4% up to 4.8% is where it's projected to be by the end of this year. And so now they're still trading at about 36.3 times forward-looking earnings. Now, this is going to be skewed because in the last 5 years, well, they didn't make any money, and so these numbers are going to look crazy to you. But price cash flow is still 44 times, price to sales 4.5 times, still a little bit expensive here for what looks to be some slowing growth. Over the past year, this name has done really well, up 68.50%. Ongoing expansion across locations, decently strong from a technical perspective as well. Year to date, it is starting to break down a little bit below that level, below that 45 level, and started to head downward quite a bit. I think the thing here, though, is yes, I do think there's a lot of growth here. And I say that because, you know, I don't necessarily like the business, what it does, right? I like the personal touch of a hostess and a waiter and all these things, right? I want to be one day the guy that walks into a restaurant and everyone goes, hey, Luke's here. But this is not what this company's about. This company's about streamlining. This company's about efficiency. This company is about making it easy for the customer to get the product, in this case, food, that they want. And I think they're doing a good job of it. So if you're worried about potentially missing out on some gains, but you still want to look elsewhere, and gold is a great place to look, maybe you take half your position. You're up a lot. You take profit. You leave a little bit in there just in case so you don't have regrets. Diversifying is always a good thing to do whenever you are profitable. Now, before we get to our next question, while I have your attention, I want to tell you about a new series that has debuted on our InvestTalk YouTube channel. And that series is called InvestTalk Innovators. In every episode, Justin and I will be bringing you insightful interviews with company leaders, founders, and visionaries. For the first episode, I spoke with Haran Bhakta, the mind behind Inside Ownership. He highlights how his philosophy of investing in founder-led businesses can offer a real advantage and passes on some practical tips that you don't want to miss. To watch our full interviews, visit our InvestTalk YouTube channel today and stay tuned for more conversations with more InvestTalk innovators. Now that that has been done, why don't we answer another caller question?
Hey, InvestTalk. I was hoping you guys could give me your opinion on Quanex Building Products. The ticker is NX. I bought it around like 18-ish. It just had earnings and it's come down quite a bit. I have it in a Roth IRA right now. It does look like, historically it's kind of up and down, but from what I can see, the future earnings still look like, there's some value in it at this price. Looking to see if you guys would continue to hold it or if you guys would get out. And I'll listen on the show. Thanks. Bye.
Quanex Building Products, they manufacture components sold to equipment manufacturers. Ooh, talking is tough sometimes. Within the building products industry. It is a $700 million, not billion with a B, million with an M, dollar market cap company. So rather small. And it's got more debt than its market cap. Long-term debt, $855 million. Its net margin, super skinny. Projected to be 10 basis points this year. EBITDA margin, 12.8% this year. Net income, $200 million. And so over the past 3 months, you saw a pretty sharp decline in the stock, 24.72%. As you saw, revenue growth starting to slow down a little bit within this company. Geographically, they are pretty well diversified. 73% of their revenue comes from the United States. 21% of their revenue comes from Europe. Over the past 6 months, they had some mixed quarterly profits as well from the acquisition of Tyman, a company that they acquired. But I think one of the things that concerns me the most is those debt levels relative to the size of this company. If your net income is $2 million, the highest you've ever had in the past 5-6 years is $88 million, and you're carrying that much debt with really not much cash on hand, not a lot of assets on your balance sheet, that becomes a big concern to me. This could be why this company is trading at 7.6 times forward-looking earnings, 0.4 times sales, along with some of the cyclical issues of, the types of things that it sells, wood manufacturing, and the demand for housing and building in general. I think you put yourself in a position where, okay, there's a reason why this company is down 41% over the past year. So for now, I would probably stay a bit away due to those debt management issues and due to some lackluster thus far integration from some of their strategies. That is NX, Quanex Building Products Corporation. Alrighty, so one interesting aspect of the past decade, that's 5 years, I would say, is how essential copper has become to not just where it was before, the industrial lifeblood of the global economy, but other trends as well. Green energy, artificial intelligence, and in this case, rising global military spending. And three of these mega trends have really driven a large demand for copper. AI data centers require enormous electricity. That electricity requires enormous amounts of cooling. And that is really fueling copper's demand across the board. Bloomberg NEF projects 4.3 million metric tons will be needed of copper by the year 2035. The military demand is surging as well. Copper is needed for weapons, for vehicles, for infrastructure projects. Pressure from NATO, pressure from US tariffs are also amplifying a lot of these trends. People are trying to shore up supplies, given the national security implications here. And all at the same time, right, copper supply remains very tight with a deficit of 669,000 tons expected by 2028. And what that has done is spurred some big M&A activity. Specifically, we saw a proposed $53 billion deal between Anglo American and Teck. Copper's price rose pretty sharply in 2025, despite these tariff-related volatility. U.S. copper prices spiked mid-year due to that tariff threat and push for domestic mining, But alternatives like superconducting wire remain a bit niche, meaning that copper is still an essential part of all of these things. One trend that we've also seen in the past decade is how loose our grid infrastructure is. Grid infrastructure upgrades alone will require 14.9 million tons of copper by the year 2030, up 19% from 2025. It is also not easy to put new mines online. Regulatory delays plague new mines, as shown by the stalled Arizona project that drew criticism from the administration despite the 4,000 job potential. And so herein lies the problem. A lot of demand, not much supply, and difficult to bring supply more online. We've been saying it quite some time. Even though you've seen some copper companies underperform over the past couple years, the demand for copper is undeniable, be it because of AI infrastructure, electrification, or military demand. As a medium and long-term play, copper is a good way to go. You know what? Why don't we drop in another listener question now?
Hey, can you look at the stock Ball, you know, like basketball, right? Ball canning jars, B-A-L-L, and tell me if it's a good buy. And thank you so much.
Let's take a look at the stock Ball, B-A-L-L, like basketball, is, unsurprisingly, Ball Corporation. So they supply aluminum packaging for beverages, personal care, and household products. They operate through a couple segments of their business, one being the beverage packaging, which focuses on North and Central America, then South American, EMEA, and a little bit of other, right? And pretty evenly split. Their North and Central American is only about 48% of the revenue. 29% comes from EMEA. And then another 17% comes from South America. It is a fairly, you know, fairly big company, right? $13 billion. It's a solid mid-cap name right there. In terms of debt levels, not much debt relative to its size. $5.5 billion in debt. Free cash flow, though, all over the place. Negative, positive, negative, positive. Net operating cash flow, really on a downward trend, projected to grow into this year, and margins projected to expand as well, right? We had a pandemic level peak net margin of 6.3%, and it hasn't really touched anywhere near that, though it is projected to be 7.7% this upcoming year. Now, how does performance look? Well, down 22.48% over the past 52 weeks, down almost, you know, 9.18% year to date, down 9% over the past 3 months. A lot of that is a bit of mixed earnings over the past 6 months. They have had strong cash flow. They had decent returns going back a little bit heading into, I would say, August. Yeah, heading into August before it started to turn around after really not doing so well coming out of Liberation Day. But I think that one of the main reasons here that this isn't doing too hot is just cyclical market demand. And that's something that is often hard to escape. And so given that what we're not really seeing is a solid revenue growth trend, right? It is picking back up a bit, but it's just all over the place. The volatility here is crazy. Revenue peaked in 2022, down sharply into 2024, up again this year. Inconsistent business that is trading at the low end of its valuation for a reason. So for now, I'd probably stay away from Ball Corporation. Despite the diversity, ticker B-A-L-L. Let's keep things moving and pivot back to the InvestTalk voice bank and listen to another question that came in to 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, this is James from Texas calling on ticker symbol D-O-V, Dover. I've had it in my portfolio about a half of a position for the last several months, since about March, and just wanting to check to see what your thoughts are on the company, if it's something worth holding or maybe even potentially adding to. Thank you.
DOV, Dover Corporation. It is an industrial company. They're a manufacturer and solutions provider delivering innovative equipment and components, consumable supplies and aftermarket parts, energy and fueling, imaging, and identification, pumps and processes, climate and sustainable technologies. This is what this business does. It is a diversified global industrial company. Got more than $7 billion in annual revenue. In fact, revenue has been on a pretty solid growth pace since last year. Though over the past 5 years, up and down, right? 2022, solid year. But this just looks like the industrial cycle to me. About 3.2% in the red over the past 52 weeks, down 6.38% year to date. Margins, though, even though revenue has slowed, margins have remained pretty solid. 18.1% net margin in 2024, projected to be 16.1% net margin this year. In terms of valuation, it's sitting at about its average price to cash flow, about 32 times, price to sales about 3 times. Over the past 3 months, they did have earnings per share rise 16%, beat the estimate by about 6 cents per share on the bottom line. On the top line, just shy of $10 million is where they beat that there. They did a strategic acquisition. They've hiked their dividend. They effectively divested from a portion of their business that really didn't fit into the company as a whole. And they've had solid earnings growth and margins, right? Sustained outperformance relative to their peers in 2024, outperformed by 3.3%, having a bit of a rough time this year. But let's look at their cash flow. The trend looks solid, right? Net operating cash flow, a bit over the place as well, growing from $748 to $1.3 billion this year. Overall, I think that it looks like it might be trending in the right direction. You do see the three-year trends on everything in terms of growth looking very solid. And it's trading at a pretty reasonable valuation, 17.2 times forward-looking earnings. Its relative strength, pretty good going back 6 years. Could be a good time to pick up this name, especially if you're a long-term investor waiting for that industrial cycle to pick back up again. That is Dover Corporation, ticker DOV. Going into a break, please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 radio in Silicon Valley, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now Luke Guerrero is here, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Justin, Luke, calling in regards to Tech Resources Limited, ticker symbol TECK. Recent news in that merge with Anglo America. Just curious on your thoughts. Currently holding 5% in my portfolio. Long-term hold, not completely sure what that entails in terms of the merge. Any advice on holding, selling, and what that could reflect with my current shares? Thank you.
Yeah, this is a great question because there are two types of mergers, right? There are mergers that involve cash and there are mergers that involve stock. Now, obviously, you can blend the two a bit, but this is a stock merger, right? So, Anglo American is going to give stock in the newly formed entity to the shareholders of Tech. There may be some cash considerations, but the bulk of it is going to be a stock purchase, right? And so if you want to continue to hold the new entity because you liked Tech's exposure, you liked the exposure to copper, then frankly, just keep holding your shares. There was a big pop on the announcement, meaning the market did like the idea of a merger, of an acquisition. I also read some news, though, that there are some shareholders who think it's a bit underpriced. And there could be a bit of a bidding war, potentially, that is welcomed between Anglo American and another company. That could benefit you as well. The stock price could move up from there because of that. Now, if it were a cash deal, I would say sell the shares. Because if a company is trading at its cash deal terms, then you're effectively already holding the cash anyway. But if your goal is to continue to hold on to this newly formed entity between these two companies, holding onto your shares is a good way to go. All right. The last thing I want to talk about is how AI mania has driven $21 trillion in U.S. market cap gains since ChatGPT was released in 2022, with just 10 firms responsible for 55% of an increase. And investment in AI is surging, accounting for all U.S. GDP growth in early 2025 and one-third of all Western VC dollars year-to-date. That is an insane sum of money. Revenue from generative AI, though, remains pretty small, estimated at just $50 billion annually, less than 2% of the $2.9 trillion projected data center spend through 2028. Not solid returns there from a monetization perspective. And so, naturally, There's a lot of people warning of bubble-like behavior, with 95% of firms seeing zero return. Zero on their AI investment. History shows us, we've seen it time and time again, that tech bubbles are normal. They often lead to long-term benefits, right? The internet, there was a bubble. Long-term benefit there, depending on who you ask. Despite the short-term investor pain. And so the AI boom spark was technological. But some deregulation, some subsidies from government entities, they added a bit of a bubble risk to the picture. While CapEx is still accelerating, much of it going towards fast appreciating assets like NVIDIA chips, not just because they wear out over time, which isn't the big concern here, but because along the technological curve, things become more advanced. They become depreciated more quickly because they don't have the newest technology. That is different from the past bubble, which tended to build longer lasting infrastructure. Now, big tech is funding half of this from about cash flows. So that does limit the systemic risk. The big risk in markets come when people take an idea that was a good idea, they use it far too much, and then they finance it with debt. That is how you get systematic contagion within the system. That's not necessarily what's happening here, but the capital that's being used is coming from pensions, from insurers, from family offices, from individuals. And retail investors are heavily exposed to equities. Stocks make up 30% of households' net worth, 30%, more than that of the dot-com peak in the year 2000. So herein lies the problem. It could be that things are priced to perfection and everything is A-OK through the end, but if the AI hype collapses, economic fallout could be very sharp due to the wealth effect and concentrated exposure to a few mega-cap stocks, be it directly invested in there or having all of your wealth in the indices that they make up a very large part of, can have disastrous consequences. I'm Luke Guerrero, and that about does it for another episode of Invest Talk. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads, which you can get at iTunes and Spotify. And while you're at it, go over to our YouTube channel, Invest Talk with two T's. Check out our YouTube-specific exclusive content. Now, today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, and whether it all is really working together for you. Give me a call. At KPP Financial, we offer no-cost portfolio reviews to help bring clarity and confidence. It all starts at investtalk.com. Just click on the portfolio review button. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.